I'm willing to bet that if I would ask you right now, is there a way that we could monitor clients, prospects, and competitors, you'd probably say, well, duh, there's something called Google Alerts. Well, today we're going to talk about ways for you to monitor your clients, your prospects, and your competitors without depending on Google Alerts and without spending one dime. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 30,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so before we begin today, I want to let you know that this episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our 2020 Virtual Sales Camp program. I'm going to be talking about it at the end of the podcast. If you happen to be impatient like I am and you want to check it out now, feel free to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/salescamp20. yoursalesplaybook.com/salescamp20. Also have a really cool announcement today for you guys. I've been thinking a lot about my blogging that I've been doing. And like anything else, and I hope you guys do this too, sometimes we start to get into habits. And sometimes habits are great and they serve us. And sometimes, certainly other times, these habits that we get into can limit us. And I was really evaluating the blogging that I was doing, and I've been blogging now since 2008. We have over 4,000 blog posts over at yoursalesplaybook.com/blog. And I thought about, well, how can I really bring this up like 10 notches? And one of the things I decided to do is start to offer more free stuff over there, not just the blog posts where you guys have almost like, you know, a deliverable. So what I did was I started about a week ago, right? So this is a new initiative, and I started with a free worksheet. And in the worksheet, there's 5 questions that you should ask yourself at the beginning of the summer so that you could really leverage the summer selling season. Then I put out a creativity PDF with over 40 creative ways for you to get in the door, get a busy decision maker's attention. I offered that as well. So I'm going to be offering a lot more things along those lines of PDFs, worksheets, templates. And if you guys want in on that, remember, this is free. There are no strings attached. Now, it's great that you're listening to me over on the podcast, but there's a whole other world over on the blog, and I want to make sure that you don't miss it. So in order to get that stuff, all you got to do is subscribe to the blog by going to yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe. yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe. Now, that's a long time for me to be just kind of dicking around and not getting to the point. You guys, if you've been listening to me for a while, you know I despise those podcasts. And you guys have listened to them too, where you're listening and you're like, well, holy shit, we're 10 minutes into this podcast and all they're doing is some cute bantering and they're talking about all the irrelevant things and they're trying to sell me this and that. And they are just doing very little of what experts refer to as getting to the effing point. So I'm going to take that as my cue to get to the effing point. And today we're going to talk about how you can monitor your prospects, your clients, and your competitors without depending upon Google Alerts. Now, notice that I said not depending upon. I didn't say that this means that we should eliminate Google Alerts. It means that, well, first of all, for starters, there are some ways that I'm willing to bet that you guys are not using Google Alerts. So I'm going to start with that, and then I'm going to get into a really cool concept called the Sales Listening Station. So the first thing about Google Alerts, and somebody has to say it, and I'm almost afraid to say this because you have this big mammoth company, Google, that I'm about to almost seem like I am going to diss them, and I might disappear after this. I'm going to have to like leave a note behind saying, I don't know, this is where you find me. I'm a little nervous saying this, but sometimes Google Alerts can be a royal pain in the ass, because what happens when you set up alerts is it just blasts the heck out of your inbox. So if you're like I was at one point, I was like, well, the heck with Google Alerts. But, you know, I mean, it's worth acknowledging that there are services out there you can pay for to avoid all that and get more targeted information. But I really like to gear things on this podcast for those of us that just are operating just on a shoestring budget, that would rather not spend the money. If, you know, if we could avoid doing it, how about exploring some free stuff? And these tips that I'm going to give you today, I've been using now forever. My clients have been using them forever. We've tested them. I've seen incredible results. I've landed any number of clients using these ideas that I'm going to share with you today. So let's acknowledge this whole thing about Google Alerts blasting the hell out of your inbox. But how can we still use Google Alerts and not blast the heck out of our inbox? So what you're going to do, there's a cool little trick that a lot of people don't know about, and it's within your email program, and you're usually going to find this on something like a Gmail, an Outlook, you know, one of those types of email platforms. And what you can do is you can filter messages. So when you set up, in fact, the way that I would do it is set up a file folder within your email program. And I always feel like such a bore when I say this, because I really do pride myself on coming to the party with like a lot of creative ideas for sales reps. And what I'm about to say is just the least creative name for my file folder. I generally call it business development, or BD, right? Creative genius here. Stop what you're doing and hire me to be your coach. Just on that little bit of information alone. So set up a file folder. Hopefully you'll call it something a little bit better than what I called it. I mean, you might as well just call it money, because it's going to be money to you. Seriously, it's going to be. So you're going to set up this file folder. Every time you set up an alert, you'll usually get some kind of an acknowledgement or whatever to your inbox. And if you don't get an acknowledgement, sooner or later, you're going to get a bit of information on that. But what you want to do within the email platform is set up a filter. So you can, every time you get an email, you can, like, for example, if you get emails from me, right, for the blog that I was mentioning before, you could have that. There's a little option that usually says filter messages like this, and you could filter it into a file folder that's learning or sales blogs or Castain, Uncle Paul, if you will, whatever you want that to be. You can filter it. Now, what's really cool when you filter a message is that it bypasses, you ready for this? It bypasses the inbox. So it doesn't blast the shit out of your inbox. Isn't that like awesome? Right? I felt like I was about 15 saying that. Isn't that like? Anyway, but seriously, it's pretty cool because it bypasses it altogether. So you don't have to worry about blasting the inbox. So that's the first thing about Google Alerts. One other thing about Google Alerts, and then I did promise you I was going to give you some other resources. I don't want you to think it was just clickbait or some other nonsense like that, but we really do have to talk about Google first. So the other thing that I want you to get in the habit of doing, whenever you do a search from now on, get in the habit of setting up an alert. But there are certain categories that I want you to think about: clients, prospects, and your competitors. And seriously, what you might even want to do is you might want to put your name and your company name in as two different search items, because wouldn't you want information about your company in case you're on the phone with somebody? Oh, I heard your company is doing this. Or, God forbid, something derogatory is mentioned about you. Maybe just a real shitty Google review or whatever. That could happen. You'd want to know about that. But you also want to know about good things that are being said about you. Just about a month ago, I had someone who wrote a really nice review who attended our Selling in the Weeks Ahead course that we had, dealing with, you know, how to sell through this whole pandemic and all the craziness in the world. And I got it. I mean, I also got it through my inbox, but I had it on, you know, came up on the alert because I'm monitoring my own name, which is very important to do. But aside from that, here's where it's going to get just a bit different for you, because you're probably not used to doing this. So whenever you're going to call a potential company, I'm hoping you do your homework. And most people, what they do is they usually Google, if you will, the company. ABC Company, XYZ Company, Castain Training Systems, if you're targeting me. The next part, you're probably going to say, duh, but I'm going to say it anyway, and then we're going to get into some other things that you might be missing. Don't forget to Google your contact's name as well. Put that in there, and every time you get results, remember, set up an alert. You shouldn't even care at this point about blasting your inbox, because I just taught you how to bypass it. It's going to go to a file folder. But now let's get into some stuff that you're not going to say duh about. You probably said duh when I say, hey, don't forget to Google your contact name. But there's more than that. Don't forget to Google the executive team within that company. The names of those people that are on the executive team. Why? Because many times news items come out with those people being quoted. And what we want is as many feelers out there and as many types of searches that if we miss it on one, which can happen, by the way, we're going to nail it down on another one. So you want, again, the name of the company, your contact, the names. Each one of the names on that executive committee. And what I mean by the executive committee is that usually it's people at the C level. It's going to be CFO, COO, many times, the chief revenue officer, things like that. Obviously, the CEO is on that committee. So that's what I'm talking about. Get their names as well. But let's go a step further now. Let's also remember that they have competitors. So you might want to Google some of their competitors and almost do some of the same steps we talked about, where you're putting in the name of their competitor, maybe if there is a contact there. Now, why would you do that? Well, I mean, what are you going to do? Just go after one person within an industry? So that might be an opportunity for you. You can also, and at that point, maybe they become almost like a prospect for you. But also, you know, but putting in the competitors like that and their executive team is going to help you as well, because it's going to give you intel. It's going to give you opportunities even to go after their competitors, unless you're in a real type of, you know, you have like an NDA or something like that, and you got to be really, really careful when it comes to a client, because that's one of the categories that we're going to be listening for here. Then, you know, this is all fair game. But the other thing that I just want to remind you when it comes to competitive intel, and if you're in a position to write this down, I think you should not only write it down, but I think you should circle it. And even if like you had a different color pen, just you got to highlight this, because this is some serious shit about to come at you. When we're dealing with C-level decision makers, I want you to realize that a very big part of their DNA, I certainly can't speak for every single decision maker in the world right now, But I really have found, and I really believe, that the vast majority of C-level decision makers are highly competitive individuals. That is part of why they are at the C-level. But they thrive on competition. They have a severe case of FOMO, fear of missing out, when it comes to their competitors. So any opportunity for you to have intel on what's going on, even not just with prospects, I'm talking about even with your existing clients now, any intel that you can have about their competitors could give you an opportunity to change up the flavor of your calls, change up the flavor of your emails and your contact and your outreach. Because so much of the flavor that we've been overdoing it, it's like we have one spice in sales and we just overplay the hell out of it. It's, I want to sell you something. Or maybe we get creative and we do a variation of, I want to sell you something. I want to set up a discovery call or a demo or a meet and greet, or a stop by, whatever you call it, to sell you something. So we really have to welcome these opportunities to change up the message, because that's how we condition people to keep taking our phone call, to keep opening and hopefully responding to our emails. We have to come to the party with some different messaging. And this is one of many ways that you can come to the party with different messaging. All right, so that's the first thing that I want you to think about. Now there's other things that you can do, and I'm going to bounce around a little bit, because what I did with today's episode is I just, while I was having a cigar in the backyard, it's too early in the day, or it was too early when I was writing these ideas down, so I wasn't drinking yet. So I don't want you to think, was Castaigne drinking? No, man, but I really wasn't fully caffeinated. But so we're going to bounce around a little bit. The other thing as part of your listening station, if you will. Now, this isn't going to be that something that gets, filtered over in your inbox. This is something you could do over on LinkedIn. A lot of sales reps don't realize that there is a really cool feature on LinkedIn that's free where you can monitor, get this, your clients, your prospects, and your competitors. And all you have to do is go onto their profile, whoever this is. Again, I don't care if it's a client or a prospect or your competitor. You can go pull up their profile. And instead of connect, because there's always like this little drop-down menu that gives you options, whether you want to connect with the person, or I think you could even share the profile, which I'm not sure why you do that, but whatever, to each their own. But there is an option to simply follow a person. When you follow a person, all their updates appear in your timeline. Anything about them, like when they're mentioned and things like that, usually that will pop up in your timeline. So that's kind of a cool thing for you to do to keep some tabs on people. And I always recommend that even when you're sending an invite to someone, also click the follow feature, because not everybody's going to accept your invitation. So either way, then, you're covered. The other thing that you can do without relying on Google Alerts is go over to Twitter. Now, right about now, some of you, I caught you, are giving me an eye roll. You're saying, yeah, I don't get Twitter. So I have some bad news for you. Those of you who say, I don't get Twitter. Some of you say, I don't get Instagram. I don't get Snapchat. Some of you might even have said, I don't get LinkedIn, when I mentioned that before. I've even heard people say, I don't get email, man. I'm more of a cold calling person. I'm about to say something very harsh. It may offend you, but somebody needs to tell you. The people that you are monitoring don't give a shit if you get Twitter or Instagram or any of these other things. All they give a shit about is that they continue to show up there, and the people that they want to communicate with continue to show up in those places. But I am willing to bet that there is nobody sitting around right now saying, you know, I'm thinking about going over on Twitter, but I really want to know if Paul Castaigne gets that. That would be incredible for my ego, but I really don't think people give a shit. And I hate to say it, but they don't give a shit about you when it comes to that. So what I'm proposing here is that you go into Twitter, you pull up the following types of accounts: prospects, clients, competitors. And what you do, you don't even have to follow them. There's a little drop-down menu there as well, and you can add them to a list. So in order to do this, you need to create a list, which instructions are right there on Twitter under the little help thingy that they have there. And what you want to do is set up a private list, because when you set up a private list, nobody is informed that they have been added to the private list. So, and also, people can't get at your private list. I mean, how shitty would it be if you had a whole list of prospects and clients and your competitor comes along, sees it and says, oh yeah, thanks dipshit, now I can get at all these things of yours. We don't want that. So we're setting up a private list. So here's something really cool now that happens. You can monitor your prospects, your clients, and your competitors. Now, you might be saying right about now, yeah, but my clients are not on Twitter, or maybe my prospects are not on there, or you know what, my competitors aren't. I would probably have to say bullshit to that. I mean, this isn't 2010, ladies and gentlemen. Most companies have a Twitter presence. And, you know, maybe not the individual, but even still, it'll blow your mind how many people are over there. But at least at the company level. So what's cool about it then is that perhaps you can get information by what they're tweeting in terms of their blog or announcements. Many times it will lead you to another information source, like posting YouTube videos and things that will give you further insight into your clients and your prospects and your competitors. So it certainly isn't going to be a waste of money for you, because, I don't know, it's kind of free. So, all right, a little bit of time, but what I'm proposing here takes literally seconds to do. And guess what? It's summertime. Many of you complain, and I've done it too. Well, you know, things slow down, and I have a lot of clients that are saying, call me back in the fall. And what you've chosen to do instead of something like this that's actually productive is mess around with the whole mess of administrative things, like, well, I'm updating my CRM. For an entire summer, you're going to do that? For 2 months? 2 months? Sounds like I was getting emotional there. I could cry. I'm so emotional about this. But seriously, this is something that you now of all times should be doing. So the other thing that you can do on Twitter, and I really believe this next piece of advice is going to be well worth the price of admission, which last time I checked was also free, unless somehow we're charging you for these podcasts. There is something that most people don't do on Twitter that's a bit of a secret that I want to tell you about. If you go into the search engine bar over on Twitter, and you can even access it from your desktop by doing, I believe, search.twitter.com. Search.twitter.com. And if you go in there and you put the at symbol and the name of the account, so if you wanted to do this with me, you would put in at Paul Castain, right? Because I'm real creative in coming up with my Twitter name. At Paul Castain. What you will see now is everything that people have said to me on Twitter, not just what I have put out there for the world to see, like my blog and this podcast and our upcoming sales camp program and all the other things that I, and little witty things that I put out there because I think I'm being cute, that kind of stuff. Now you get to see what people are saying to me. Now, my question to you is this, and don't answer because you look like a jackass answering your computer or talking into your phone or whatever. You're going to get drug tested, for God's sakes. But no, my question to you is, could that information be valuable to you, knowing what people are saying to your competitors? Is it possible? I don't know. that sometimes clients of theirs get a little shitty with them and complain over on Twitter, and they're at messaging them. And that's what you're searching. You're searching at messages to see what people are saying to and about your competitors. But also, could it be something that comes in handy to know what your customers' customers are saying to them? Your prospects' customers are saying to them? Could it also be a good opportunity for you to continue some of those search things that I talked about before, where you're also doing searches on people in the executive committee? Heck, that could get you into a conversation that before was never happening. So it's something that you could try, and I could tell you, not a lot of people do this. Just a little quick side note. I was thinking about this when I mentioned this whole thing about at messaging before. If you went into Twitter, or if you access the search by going search.twitter.com, and you did an at search, at Paul Castain, you're going to see something that if you were this company's competitor that I at messaged, where I was talking at them, I can't say talking to because I haven't got a response yet, and I probably won't for that matter because they're pretty bad at it. If you went in and did that search and you were one of their competitors, you'd see that I was reporting an outage. Now, the thing I didn't mention there, because I don't really like to be this kind of a public dick like this, but I'm going to tell you that I'm more than a little upset with them, because this has happened three times. It's about once a month now for the last 3 months, and it's a bit much. So now what if you were monitoring them because they're your competitor? You'd have the exact moment when I was dissatisfied. You could either put yourself into that conversation, especially since the other people are very slow at responding, as are a lot of people on social media, by the way, because they're just used to broadcasting and not interacting. Or you could look me up. Wouldn't that be a brilliant day to call me? I mean, it would be the legal version of bugging my office to know the exact precise moment when Castain was pissed with his service. So that's one of the things you could do there. But let's move on, because I kind of beat the hell out of that one. Here's another one that you can do that gets you beyond Google Alerts. If you want to look into different financial things about companies, whether it be the different, especially publicly traded companies, I would say, and you want to be able to have access to their 10Ks, their 10Qs, different news about them on Wall Street, NASDAQ, you know, that whole thing, you might want to go to a website by the name of SeekingAlpha.com. SeekingAlpha.com. I promise you that's not a porn site. It kind of sounded like it, like I'm sending you to some sick S&M shit right here, but I'm not. It's legit. SeekingAlpha.com. And what you can do there is you could also set up alerts. And you could set those alerts up once again to be filtered into that file folder. In my case, marked BD, Business Development. The other thing that you could do is you can go to a website by the name of VentureBeat.com. VentureBeat.com. Now, here's something that a lot of people miss when they're hunting for business. One of the things I teach in just about all of the programs that I do, but right now in the Sales Camp program, for example, we're talking about this, is one of the concept is, it's to go where the money is, right? Now that's one of those things, it's almost like provide value. Everybody nods their head to it, but what does that really mean, go where the money is? Well duh, where is the money? Especially right now. Well, one of the places where the quote-unquote money is, it's companies that have received venture capital funding. But how do I find those companies? And there's numerous ways of doing it, but in this context where we're setting up a listening station, if you go to VentureBeat.com, they're always announcing companies that just received funding. And it's funny, one of the first times that I did this, actually this didn't just happen then, this happened numerous times, where I've been on the phone with a coaching client, I'm saying, all right, right now, go to VentureBeat.com, and I explain to them what to do. And I say, pull up a news item concerning a company that just received a round of funding. And usually, and I swear to you, I cannot make this stuff up. I probably could, but it wouldn't be this amusing. But 9 out of 10 times, the response that I get from people when I say, pull up, tell me what you see. And they say, holy shit, this is 6 minutes ago this happened. So they're getting information, they're getting intel that is minutes, not days, not weeks, not months, not years old. Minutes in many cases. So what you can do at VentureBeat.com is you can get a lot of good information on startups, but you can also find out about companies that have received venture capital funding. Those would be incredible companies to call because they have the money, especially in these times right now where we're dealing with a pandemic. Again, the advice I give, okay, know where the money is right now. One of the places where the money is, companies who have just received funding. Don't forget, you're going to set up a filter on your email so that any alerts that are coming from VentureBeat.com bypass the inbox and go right into your handy dandy file folder. Here's another resource that is different than Google, and it's called Social Searcher, and it's free. Social Searcher. You can access this free resource by going to social-searcher.com. Social-searcher.com. What this is a search engine that has an algorithm set to find anything to do with social media. Now, Google, once again, it's going to sound like I'm dissing them. They're a beautiful thing, but they also have to search a gazillion types of things. Right? An infinite amount of things, which I believe is what the term Google, or might even be pronounced Google in mathematical terms. But I'm the wrong guy to ask because I was an imbecile in math. But that's a topic for another day. And I hated math. And I celebrated my hatred for math. In fact, I think back on all the poor math, specifically algebra teachers, where they asked you to hand in your worksheet so that they had an inkling of how the hell you got to the answer you did. And I think I contributed to many of them becoming full-blown alcoholics because I just cannot figure this young lad out. He's an idiot. So anyway, I digress. But, you know, if you look at Google, it really has to search a lot of things. Algorithm is set for that. But what's cool about socialsearcher.com is that their whole focus is on social media. And what I mean by that, it's going to search blogs. It's going to search YouTube. It's going to search LinkedIn. It's going to search Twitter and Instagram and all those things. So really all on one dashboard. It just populates everything when you do a search. And I, you know, tried it out again earlier today. I haven't used it in a while, truth be told, because I have a ton of alerts that are set up. I just go to the file folder at this point. It's kind of now on a set it and forget it type of mode. So I just wanted to double check it and make sure it was still around, because those of you who've been following me for a while know that I was really fond of this other one in the past called socialmention.com, who is, they're now defunct. So, but Social Searcher is really cool because it just populates everything on one page for you, and you can see what that individual or that executive team or the competitors, or the company itself is talking about or posting on different channels. And that's important to you. This is all, by the way, all the stuff that we're talking about today is really a tactic in social selling known as social listening. So if you ever hear anybody talk about social listening, it's really what we're talking about here, social listening. So once again, anything coming from Social Searcher, you can set up that filter so that it bypasses the inbox, goes right to the file folder. So now, let me just tell you what we've done here, now that we've kind of rambled for quite a bit, for 33 minutes. So now what's going to happen is that information now is going to start coming to you instead of you always having to go after it. I really want you to stop and chew on that for a minute, because that's some serious shit there. I mean, we all know it's kind of tedious every single time having to keep going into the same companies, especially if it's across multiple things like this. Let me check Google. Let me check Social Searcher. Let me check Seeking Alpha. So now, instead, this is all, like, you're doing these searches anyway. You just set up the alert and you're done. It's set it and forget it type of stuff that we're talking about. So now what's going to happen every day, every morning, when you're having that morning coffee, why don't you make this a new habit that you go to that file folder that's been set up where everything's bypassing through the filter that I've been mentioning, bypassing the inbox, going into one, not two, not 10, not 500 file folder. It's going into one file folder, all nice and neat and tidy. You go in there, and what you're going to do is you're going to watch for things that you can leverage. Specifically, and we've talked about this before, trigger events. Trigger events. Don't forget, trigger events are things that are going on in your prospect or your client's world that could lead to a higher probability of them needing what you are selling. But also, there's another context to trigger events, because we also said to monitor your competitors. Now, your competitors aren't going to buy from you, so there's really no probability. I mean, sometimes there is. I mean, sometimes if you're going to kind of broker something or whatever, or they're going to broker it, there's really not going to be an occasion for them having a higher probability of needing your product or service. But there are trigger events that you are watching for that would lead to a higher probability of their clients needing your products or services. And I gave the example earlier, that company that's having an outage right now, if their competitors are monitoring that and they decide to pounce today, you're going to have a lot of pissed off people like me who are like, yeah, I'll have a conversation with you. I'm tired of this happening. So that's, you know, two different contexts to consider when it comes to trigger events. Now, you know, if you want more information about trigger events, first of all, if you go over to my blog, yoursalesplaybook.com/blog, go into the little search engine box there and just key in trigger events. You'll find that I've talked about them quite a bit. I give several examples. And then I also believe in the last podcast that we did, if you go and check July 8th, I believe it was, I talked a little bit about trigger events, like more examples of them, because I really didn't give you examples here of it. And I want to kind of avoid that because we've got a little bit more to go here and we've already expended 37 minutes of time here. So, but every morning, you're going to check that file. You're going to have one place to go to instead of a gazillion. And you're going to watch for those trigger events. You're going to be on the lookout for intel that you could provide your clients and your prospects. You know, things like that that they might be interested in. You're going to be looking for things going on with your competitors that might open up an opportunity for you. And that's basically it, folks. This doesn't have to be complicated. And, you know, for those of you who heard this and said, well, this is just so simple or whatever, something being simple and you actually doing something, remember, are two different things. There are lots of things that I think are simple. There are lots of things that I think are sales 101. And there's lots of things that I catch myself, like you guys do, saying, I know that. But I usually do a sales 101 reality check. The sales 101 reality check is this. Anytime I find myself saying duh, or that sells 101, or I know that, or that's basic, or that's simple, or that's just, you know, that's just so ordinary, that bit of advice, I just follow it up. Now, I don't say this out loud, because then, again, you're talking to yourself. People are going to think you're effing weird. So what I do is I just kind of ask myself a question. Okay, well, Castain, genius. If it's so easy, are you doing it? Or do you need to shut your mouth and get off your ass and actually do it? Because it's so easy to say something is basic and easy and simple. It's a whole other thing to get off your ass, roll up your sleeves, and get to work. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do with this today. This might be a really good activity for you because, again, in the U.S. here, we have a lot of businesses that were already slowed down a little bit because of the pandemic. But over the summer, we have just due to schedules. And I also think that you have a lot of decision makers that if it were Groundhog Day, they would use that as an excuse to put something off, to procrastinate. And we're no different. We do the same thing as sales reps. But summertime, you know what? Let's just pick up this conversation in the fall or whatever. So a lot of things have slowed down in some ways. This might be a really good activity for you to do. Now, my advice to you is not to spend the next 3 weeks doing this unless things are absolutely dead for you. Then, by all means, spend the next 3, 4, 5 weeks on this. But what if every time you were to research a potential client, you did this and you set up the alerts? It will just take you minutes to do this. Now, what's going to happen, folks? I need to warn you about something. I've had people who have taken my advice on this, and a few days later, they say, Castain, your advice sucked. I'm getting nothing in that file folder. That's supposed to bypass, you know, the inbox. And I asked them, hey, not trying to be a jackass here, which, you know, when people say, I'm not trying to be a dick, or I'm not trying to be a jackass, they're usually about to be a dick or a jackass. But I say, hey, not trying to be a jackass here, but how many companies you searching? Well, I got 3 in there right now, or I got 10. I'm thinking, so that's all you've got in there. I mean, you know, unless something is, you've got some high profile company, you're probably not going to have anything hitting that file folder with 3 or even with 10. It's going to be over time, folks. This is going to take a little while. So I want you to remain patient with it. Get in the habit of whenever you're doing your research and you're doing your homework, set up these alerts, bypass the inbox, send it to the listening station, that file folder. But also get in the habit of, and you should probably set a recurring alert on your phone. Goes off every morning. Mine goes off, by the way, at about 6:30. And I have it go off, and it's labeled. It says, check your listening station. And I go in there. Now that I've been doing this for, it's about 8 years now, I've accumulated quite a bit. So there's always some stuff in there. I go in there, and I, just about every day now, wasn't this way in the beginning, there's something in there that makes me excited for the day. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I can't wait to call my clients. Maybe it's just to congratulate them because I noticed something. And it just shows that I'm really in tune to my client base. Other times, it's something that I know is an incredibly viable trigger event that's going to put me on the inside track. So there you have it, folks. If you liked this tip, there are 2 things. First of all, don't forget, subscribe to the blog by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe. The other thing that we're going to be winding down soon is our virtual sales camp program. I'm going to be sharing, or I am sharing, 75 tips, 50 cold email templates, phone scripts, PDFs, and all kinds of resources. If you'd like in on this so that you can up your sales game over the summertime when, guess what, your competitors are slacking, then I highly recommend that you visit yoursalesplaybook.com/salescamp20. yoursalesplaybook.com/salescamp20. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them, folks. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Subscribe to our blog by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe.